Today on The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe.
It's a travesty of the gospel, isn't it, when Christianity is presented as a lifestyle of taboos, of do's and don'ts, a grim and gloomy life of following rules and regulations. That is not authentic Christianity.
Welcome to The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. This daily program is a media ministry of Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We all value freedom, and through the perfect work of Jesus Christ, we've been offered freedom from sin and the law. But today, we'll discover that there are times when it's appropriate to choose to limit our freedom out of love for others. Let's join Pastor John Monroe with his message titled, Freedom and Love.
We're hearing more and more strident voices about our rights and personal freedoms. How do you think about freedom? Praise God, followers of Jesus Christ are free. Free from sin, free from guilt, and free to serve God. But what's the balance between exercising your freedom and being considerate of others who see things differently from you? Previously in our study of the book of Romans, Paul has given instructions about the importance of mutual acceptance in the community of believers. It's true, we are to have personal convictions, but we must also welcome others, realizing that each individual Christian is accountable to God. So, what does this mean for the way we live? And how should we exercise our freedom?
Well, all of us value our freedom, don't we? The statue of liberty in this country is the symbol of the importance of the freedom of the individual. Yet, as we celebrate our freedom, I think all of us recognize that there are restraints on our freedom. There are limitations of our liberty. For example, while we have the freedom of speech, we are not free to slander people. We don't have the legal liberty to assault someone or to steal from them. And even apart from legal restraints, we recognize that sometimes we simply limit our liberty. Every married couple knows if you want a good marriage, even if you are free to do some things, if you are wise, if you're smart, you sometimes choose not to exercise a particular freedom. And when we think of that, we realize that of all of the people on this planet Earth, we who are followers of Jesus Christ are the freest of people. That may not seem to the unbeliever, but we are free. We're free from sin. We're free from the fear of death, free from the law, free from guilt, and free to serve God, free to be the kind of people that God created us to be. And it's a travesty of the gospel, isn't it, when Christianity is presented as a lifestyle of taboos, of do's and don'ts, a grim and gloomy life of following rules and regulations. That is not, I repeat, not authentic Christianity. And we have learned in this wonderful series on Romans that Paul emphasizes the freedom that we have in Christ. Paul is the apostle of freedom. But Paul also understands what we need to understand, that in considering this magnificent subject of freedom, we realize that sometimes we are to restrict voluntarily our freedom. That is, we're not always to insist on our rights, on our preferences, on our perspectives. And in Romans chapter 14 and 15 that we're considering, Paul gives instructions where Christians differ on matters. Matters not fundamental to the gospel, he's not saying that, but there are issues, secondary issues. Chapter 14, verse 1. He says, don't quarrel over opinions, don't quarrel, don't have fights, don't have arguments over disputable matters. That in matters of eating, he said, and drinking and observing certain days, we are to consider others. That is, we are to limit our freedom. And Paul encourages us to welcome others, not to judge other people, not to look down on them, not to despise them, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to give a warm welcome, an authentic welcome to every follower of Jesus Christ. That's the principle. Welcome one another, even, and can I say particularly, when you disagree with that person. Their opinion on a certain matter is different from yours. How they exercise their Christian freedom is somewhat different from yours. Don't look down on them. Don't be superior. Certainly don't despise them, but rather welcome them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, can I say, is the transformation of the gospel. By nature, we're selfish, self-centered, insistent in our way and our preferences. But now, as Christ comes and forgives our sins and lives within us, there is this tremendous transformation where we become more and more like Jesus. And that is seen in part by the way we treat others. This is the transformation of the gospel, where we have a community of believers where we truly love one another and welcome one another. What is to characterize followers of Jesus above all? Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." One of our problems today, perpetuated by social media, is that there's a lot of hate speech. There are people who go on social media and they want to convince everyone of their particular perspective. And if you dare to suggest another point of view, you're insulted, perhaps even threatened. And so we have this terrible phenomenon, even in our own country, where people are unable, apparently, to relate to one another if we see things differently. That's disastrous, isn't it? Yes, you have the freedom to do it, but can I suggest, as we'll see in the authority of the Word of God, that sometimes you are to limit your freedom. Just because you have the right to do something and the right to say something doesn't mean that you do or say that. But as Paul is going to say so wonderfully here, we are to limit our freedom. Now, supposing you are strong in your faith, and you think I am weak in my faith in some area, or vice versa, what are we to do? Freedom without responsibility, liberty without restraint, whether it's on Facebook, but certainly in the Church of Jesus Christ, can be very destructive. And in our passage, which is a longer one than usual today, Paul is going to give us three principles which will guide us in the exercise of our freedom. And the first one is found in Romans chapter 14. I invite you to open your Bibles there. Romans chapter 14. And first of all, I'm going to read from verse 13 through verse 18, where Paul is saying, here's the first principle: voluntarily limit your freedom so you don't offend your brother. In our flesh, we would say, who cares what my brother thinks, or who cares what my sister thinks? I have the right to do that. No, says Paul, not in the Church of Jesus Christ. You, brother, you, sister, are to voluntarily limit your freedom so you don't offend your brother. If you don't believe me, I trust you believe the Apostle Paul and the Spirit of God. Romans 14, verse 13, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Do you hear that? Stop it. If you're one of these people going around looking down on others because they don't agree with your opinion on a disputable matter, you're judging them, stop it. Isn't that clear? But rather decide, here's a resolution to make, decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know, and I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So, do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Let's just stop there. Voluntarily limit your freedom so you're not offending your brother or sister. Don't spiritually impede your brother or sister in Christ. Verse 13, Paul talks of a stumbling block or a hindrance. A stumbling block means a barrier in a roadway, such as a big pothole in a road. Don't dig a pothole for your brother to fall into. A hindrance is referring to a snare or a trap, something which would trip up your brother and cause him to sin. Don't do that. Why would you put a barrier in the way of the spiritual growth of your sister? Why would you do something which would hinder their spiritual health and their spiritual witness? The point is this, that Paul is saying as he continues what he said in the first 12 verses of chapter 14. The point is, we are not to hurt or destroy our brother by insisting on our freedom in Christ. Don't pressure that brother, don't pressure that sister to go against their conscience. You think you're spiritually superior, you've got the answer, you've got this figured out, and for the life of you, you can't understand why your brother or sister doesn't see it the same way as you see it. See, when making these kind of decisions, it's not just a matter of what's right and wrong. There are rights and there are wrongs. But I'm also to consider whether my actions, as I exercise my freedom, whether my actions would have a negative impact on you, who are my brother or sister. In other words, love limits freedom. And didn't Paul say earlier in chapter 12, verse 9, let love be genuine. Verse 10, love one another with a brotherly affection. So I've also to think not only of the principle of my freedom and the exercise of my freedom, but to think in a sense of a greater principle, a principle of love. Dads, if you've got a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old little boy, when you're going for a walk, do you walk at your speed or his speed? You walk at the speed of your little boy. When I started dating, I didn't realize how fast I walked until my wife, who's a little shorter than I am, very cute, but on the small side, she would say to me, John, why are you going so fast? I thought, I'm not going fast. Everybody walks at this speed, don't they? Then I thought, yeah, I am walking fast. What do? I slow down. Do I have the freedom to walk at any speed I like? Of course I do. But when you love a person, you walk at their speed. Love limits our freedom. Liberty, apart from love, results in license. It results in intolerance. And notice the great motivation that Paul gives us in verse 15. He says, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Oh, that's a tremendous motivation, isn't it? As I exercise my freedom, this brother, this sister is the one for whom Christ died. How can I disregard them? So, on these non-essentials, these opinions, these disputable areas that Paul has referred to in chapter 14, verse 1, limit your freedom. Don't use your freedom to destroy your brother. Don't use your freedom to spiritually impede the spiritual health and the spiritual growth of your brother in Christ. Now, Paul, and he's going to say in chapter 15, verse 1, we who are strong, Paul obviously regards himself as strong and understands verse 14, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing's unclean in itself. There's this dispute about food. Is it wrong to eat a ham sandwich? There were people in the church at Rome, converted Jews, say, absolutely. We were not allowed to eat the pig. Paul says, no, nothing is unclean in itself. That, in fact, was the teaching of our Lord. In Mark chapter 7, you remember there's a debate about ceremonial uncleanness. And he says in verse 18, he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters in not his heart, but his stomach and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. You're perfectly entitled to have that ham sandwich. Nothing is unclean in itself. Acts chapter 10, this was the revelation to Peter as he is used by God in the conversion of Cornelius, a Gentile. Acts chapter 10, verse 15. Remember the vision that comes to Peter? The voice came to him a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. No, Paul is saying, there is now no ceremonial uncleanness. You're free to eat any food you want. However, isn't it the case then and now that believers in Jesus Christ internalize truth at different rates? There are some things, spiritual truth, that we hear and we accept them fairly quickly. We understand them. There are other things that we struggle with, and we struggle with different things. And once we see it and it's clear from Scripture and revealed by the Holy Spirit to us, we say, why doesn't everyone see it this way? That's true. Paul is saying, listen, you can eat anything you want. All foods are clean. But still, in the church in Rome, there were people who had a conscience over eating a certain type of food. They refused to eat certain food. They had a conscience about it. We have to understand, and this is difficult for us, unless you're brought up in the Jewish faith, food laws for Jews were very, very strict. You couldn't eat many types of meat. You couldn't eat shellfish and many other things. And these food restrictions for the Orthodox Jew were so strict that an Orthodox Jew would never eat with a Gentile for fear of being ceremonially unclean. Now, if you've traveled, you realize that different foods are very important to different cultures. Fred Bridges and I, a year or two ago, were in Kazakhstan on a mission trip, and we sat down and we were served this food. And I like meat, just about all meats, but I noticed this particular meat was very, very dark, and we began to eat it. And it was also very, very chewy, very, very tough. And I said to Fred, what are we eating? And he said, this is horse meat. And I said, if you've got the horse, I've got the saddle, because mine was really tough. It was tough, but what do? We keep eating it, not too much. And then on another occasion, they gave me some fermented camel's milk to wash it down. How lovely. You ever tried it? I mean, I've got a pretty good stomach. I was brought up the old-fashioned way. The food on your plate, you ate. My father didn't like any discussion. One is, he said, we thank God for it, didn't we? Yes, Dad. Secondly, if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you, eat it. So I followed that principle. But my dad never drank fermented camel's milk. We don't have camels in Scotland, but there it was. And we tried to drink this. What you think is common here, others of us struggle a little bit with. And Paul is saying, listen, you are free to eat any food you want, but you may not eat certain things. I was brought up in Scotland that we have what we call black pudding. You know what black pudding is? It's blood pudding. Sounds pretty nasty, doesn't it? With some oatmeal and different things. And it, in fact, in some, I think in Scandinavia, they translate it blood pudding. And it's blood. And my dad, based on Acts chapter 15 from the Council of Jerusalem, they were told to abstain from blood. So no blood pudding in my home. But once I went off to university, I thought I'm going to try some black pudding. The fact that you are free to eat something doesn't mean that you necessarily eat it. So we can understand, with that background of the importance of food, how converted Jews were slow to enjoy Christian freedom when it came to food. I have a friend in India who is an Indian, converted Hindu, who doesn't eat meat, not because he believes it's wrong, but because he doesn't want to offend the Hindus who are vegetarians. So he voluntarily restricts his freedom so that he is not offending others. Notice what Paul says is the important thing, verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, why are you focusing? Why are you arguing? Why are you disputing? Why are you judging and despising people in this matter of what you eat and what you drink? That's not the priority. The kingdom of God is not about these things. What is it about, Paul? Oh, it's about righteousness. And Paul has told us that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. That's the thesis of Romans that he's told us in chapter 1. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you want to be part of a church that's arguing over minor matters? Or do you want to be part of a community of believers which is focusing on righteousness and peace and joy? Have you noticed our legalistic brothers and sisters? They're never really happy, are they? If you're a contentious kind of individual who specializes in going around putting everyone right, I can almost guarantee you're not a very happy person. You're not at peace. You're always involved in some fight. You're always wondering about what someone else is doing. No. Relax, brother. Yes, you're free, but think of others. What is to be our focus? Righteousness.
This is The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe and the start of a message titled Freedom and Love. As we go further in this powerful series on the book of Romans, I want to remind you of the special resource we're offering with this study. It's a unique guidebook by John, the fourth in his series on Romans, designed to help you get the most out of our current study. You'll find his overall introduction to chapters 12 through 16. Then for each message, there are explanations of scripture, questions for applications, promptings for prayer, plus special features, and even memorization cards for scripture. This guidebook is called Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel, and it's completely free by mail or download. Just go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict to request your copy of Romans, The Transformation of the Gospel. And before we close, we encourage you to take your own step in reaching others with the gospel by supporting this ministry. You can join in our effort to share God's word with a financial gift of any amount. And you can make that donation today, wherever you are, when you go to calvarychurch.com/theverdict. And we also want to invite you to get connected with our online communities on social media. We're excited to announce that The Verdict now has its own Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter accounts. Just search for The Verdict with Pastor John Monroe. And now, here's Pastor John Monroe with closing remarks for today's message, Freedom and Love.
Well, what's your verdict? Are you more focused on your freedom or on your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Basic to the Christian faith is loving God and loving others. That means we're to put the interests of others before ourselves, and this can be difficult. Yet the more we love God and the more we love others, the more considerate and thoughtful of others we will be. And this sometimes means choosing to limit our freedom. Join me next time as we continue the subject of freedom and love.
Thanks for joining us today on The Verdict. I'm Michelle Davies. Today's program with Pastor John Monroe was produced and sponsored by Calvary Church in Charlotte, North Carolina.